Podcasting is a complicated profession, which is why we're here to talk about Star Wars The Bad Batch, airing now on Disney Plus. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined in this series of episodes with by my very good friend and fellow strange exiled clone trooper, Tony Sindelar. Hi, Tony.
Hello, nerds. It's me, your friend Tony. I'm in a bar being a scoundrel and then wearing a cloak, even though I look just like you. Yeah. Shadowy backstory.
I was gonna ask you a question about the status of your inhibitor chip, but I decided that's kind of personal.
I did just trim my hair to clone standards. So,
oh, yeah. Okay. Regs. Regs for regs. We are here to discuss episode 7 of The Bad Batch entitled Battle Scars, which sees us a familiar face and a familiar, in some cases, place. But we'll get into it. We're gonna do a quick recap and then we'll discuss the episode as a whole. Due to their failure to get the tactical droid last week, the Bad Batch is interrupted in the middle. They're in the middle of a job which involves stealing some sort of creature. It doesn't go particularly well, but they return to Sid and they get paid out for their job, and it's less than they had hoped. But Sid says essentially they kind of owe her because she's been paying all their expenses, including some post-mission tradition that Wrecker and Omega have established of eating snacks from a food stand.
Yeah, Mantel mix, which seems to be like space popcorn.
It looks like kettle corn, and it seemed delicious in my head. I thought it looked delicious. I would eat some. There is a shadowy figure, as Tony's alluded, in the bar, who kicks out a couple of the regulars, and when the Bad Batch returns from their meeting with Sid, it's revealed it's none other than Captain Rex, our old friend. If you're not familiar with Captain Rex, he is a clone trooper who's one of the main clone troopers in the Clone Wars show. He is most often associated with probably Anakin Skywalker and Ahsoka Tano, with whom in the finale of the Clone Wars series, he kind of makes his escape from what is becoming the Empire. But in this case, he had heard from Trace and Rafa last week, proving that he was, in fact, the shadowy hologram figure we saw, that he knew where they were. He knew how to track them down, and he's here to sort of catch up. How are things going post-Order 66? He discovers that all of them have their inhibitor chips still, which makes him very edgy. He's going for his gun sort of slowly while he finds this out. But they kind of, as we've seen, claim that their nature has prevented them from being affected by it. But he says that it's really important that they remove these things very soon. And so as a result, he tells them to meet him on the planet of Bracca. If you're not familiar with Bracca, it appears most recently in the video game Jedi Fallen Order. And is one of the sort of first locations you see there. It's a giant scrapyard planet. So our clones appear and meet Rex on Bracca. He's going to take them to a Venator class Jedi cruiser, where he basically, following the procedure for how he removed his own inhibitor chip, again, detailed in the Clone Wars. and so they have sort of a video game adventure trek over to the cruiser, including crossing a chasm on a yellow wire, which is, somebody pointed out, a tip of the hat to the Fallen Order game, because oftentimes you cross chasms in like old Star Cruisers and stuff on yellow like cords or cables. So, synergy. Giant corporation synergy. Enjoy it. There's also a creature that tries to eat Wrecker at one point that looks like a combination of a Sarlacc and a Dianoga.
It is.
I don't actually know what it was.
In the captions, it labels it as a Dianoga. So
it is a Dianoga. Okay, yeah. It's much bigger than the one that we have previously
seen.
Well,
we only see parts of the previous one in Star Wars.
Right.
In the trash compactor.
And it's one that made its way to a Death Star.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it's a baby Dianoga.
Well, that was newer construction, right? Whereas this has maybe been maturing for a while.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's got Kraken, like, because the one in the Death Star, we just see like an eye stalk and a tentacle grabs people. This one's got full-on maw.
I don't know how you feel, Tony, but I think Baby Dianoga is the next big thing after Baby Yoda. I think that's the next.
I'm seeing some challenges to that synergy in terms of cuteness. you know?
It's in the eye of the beholder.
Are we talking about Baby Yoda's dead shark eyes?
Yes, that's exactly what we're talking about. The crew makes their way to the med bay, where they prep Wrecker for emergency surgery. Unfortunately, they're not able to do so before something clicks in his head and the inhibitor chip is activated. And we have a very tense fight scene where Wrecker pretty handily dispatches almost all of the Bad Batch. Omega sort of, you know, tries to get his attention and use herself as bait, and is almost a little too successful and is fortunately saved at the last moment by Rex, who stuns Wrecker. At this point, they manage to get him into the chamber, and they have to sort of wait and see how things are going to go, because he doesn't immediately regain consciousness. Hunter and Rex have a chat about sort of like what's going on in the galaxy. And Rex tries to basically get Hunter to join up with him, but Hunter says that their priorities have changed now that they're taking care of Omega. But Rex leaves it as sort of an open-ended offer in case he, you know, he needs him. And Hunter basically says, like, you know where to find us if there's an emergency. Wrecker wakes up and he is fine. He's very apologetic to Omega, who forgives him easily and has smuggled some Mantel mix aboard. So everything's great. And as our Bad Batch is wrapping things up, they are spotted by a member of the Scrappers Guild who controls Bracca, who says to his associate to alert the Empire. So I think, I mean, the highlight of this episode, obviously for me, is the return of Rex, who is one of my favorite all-time characters. I love getting a chance to see him again, and I also enjoy that, you know, once again, D. Bradley Baker. We're saving money on cast by bringing in another D. Bradley Baker voice character, but he does manage to infuse all these characters with such distinct voices that it really lets you tell them apart pretty easily. I would say Hunter and Rex are probably two of the closest in terms of voice, or possibly Rex and Echo, who obviously have a history too. But I like the little tidbits here. There's a bit there where Omega identifies Rex as the first generation clone.
Based on the lines in his face, I think.
I don't know. I think that was the implication to say that he's older.
Yeah, okay. Is it just that he is older and, you know, she can tell by Badger that he's got, I don't know.
I mean, presumably they age once they are, like,
and possibly
finished aging
even
up,
at an accelerated
right. I mean, and that's a big question with Omega, right? Because like, we don't know enough about her background yet to know how she will age and how much of her is grown from Jango Fett's material, right? Bracca was kind of a fun addition. That game was, I believe, created for the planet was created for the game, although I hear it has also potentially been mentioned in a book somewhere. That took place much later.
I recognize it. I started Jedi Fallen Order. It was very hard and I didn't finish it. I have to go back to it someday. So it was like, oh yeah, that place. And you know, a shipbreaker planet is a neat setting. It's the timing is a little weird to me, where it's like, I mean, I guess it's that things are moving real fast, so it's like we have a whole planet just cluttered with the ruins of giant starships. Reminded me a little bit of Rey as the being a scrapper, but in a slightly different environment. And this one seems, I guess, when we're there, when we see it in Fallen Order, he's part of the Scrapper Guild. So there's all kinds of, we're in a ship that's actively being torn apart, where this is a little bit more, they're staying away from the Scrapper Guild, a little bit more desolate. But, you know, it was a fun setting, and they had multiple shots of let us cross this picturesque landscape that were, you know, there's nothing in Clone Wars early seasons that looks like that in terms of beautiful, fancy fantasies, sci-fi, Star Wars landscapes. I thought those were some of the strengths of it.
The use of the wide shots, like, I really, it's really expansive and really cinematic.
Yeah. You know, this episode has moments I like. It feels a little weirdly padded, but also a little differently structured. It's kind of fun that it starts in the middle of an adventure, and so we get the sense that they're doing all these odd jobs for Sid, and it's not working out great for them, and we even have the shot where Sid like gives them like a handful of money while Sid has the briefcase full of money, and then ends with them being reported to the Empire. So just even the kind of like, it starts in the middle of a thing, and it ends without a like, and we're back at base and everything's happy too. So that was kind of an interesting structure for it. I was a little sad that, like, I mean, I feel like we only get like a couple minutes with Rex, and then he's walking away into the mist in his armor. It's like, no, friend. Right. You know, even just it's, you know, he searches them out, finds them on the bar, and he's like, I'm going to leave and I'll find you again later. It's like, no, stop leaving.
Just so, come with me.
Yeah.
I think the Bracca thing makes me think, given that we haven't left the planet yet, I would not be surprised. And also, there was no payoff from that Dianoga creature, it felt like.
Yeah.
It strikes me as feeling like that's going to come up next week, and we're going to sort of pick up exactly where we left off.
Question, I feel like I was just perhaps not watching as closely as I should have, and maybe missed a line of dialogue. Does Echo have an inhibitor chip?
I think he does, because...
But he was, even though he's not a bad batch, he was able to overcome it based on
I think they point out
he is
earlier
similar
on because
set
of the modifications that were made to him.
Okay, yeah. I would be willing to believe that he... Well, I wasn't sure if he just... Yeah, it was not clear to me. Does he have an inhibitor check? Does he need it out in the same way that it's a good... Like, obviously, Wrecker super needs it out. Everybody else, probably a good idea. Echo, do you even still have that? You have a lot of extra metal attached to your head.
Right.
Like
other chips.
Yeah, other chips.
Additional
you
chips.
You are full of chips.
Chips ahoy.
Yeah.
I think the implication is that whatever they've done to whatever was done to him in the Clone Wars basically has obviated the need for that chip slash it's not functional. But I assume he may have been removed anyways. It's important to, like, this is plot details from several seasons of Clone Wars, but the chip is organic, which is always a little weird because it's they talk about that in the Clone Wars where it's not like a piece of metal that's stuck in there. It's like an organic biochip that was created because it takes them a while to find. It's not as simple as like, oh, run them through a metal detector and you'll see there's a chip in their head. I think it's good. It does resolve that hook, which I think is good, because then it, you know, although it removes a moment of drama, right, with having Wrecker essentially turn on them, which we had predicted.
And I will say that was, I mean, I feel like probably some people need, like, Star Wars without action is just not going to work for them. I was kind of like, I'm not, like, I don't think they're going to kill Wrecker. He's going to bust up the place. But I guess that fight scene didn't do a lot for me.
I think it was most interesting from the perspective of Omega, who's established this rapport with him.
Yes, I'll give you
to
that.
To show how, like, you know, basically merciless, right? Like, that how much of his self-control it removes, as with any of the clones, right? Like, the fact that even Omega cannot talk him out of it, that he's willing to hurt a child, like, it's a terrifying moment.
And we did
get,
I mean, his kind of reflection on the experience where, like, he is trying to resist it and is fully conscious and aware of it, which has some, I guess, potentially interesting implications if you want to save Crosshair, right? Because, you know, you are the clone is under that programming and could potentially be redeemed. I did, the moment where he feels deeply, deeply bad and apologizes to Omega, and she accepts that apology and then gives him popcorn. That works. I also appreciate it as they are, like, climbing across the filthy wreckage that Tech made the comment that I was thinking, which is like, this does not seem like a sterile environment. I'm like going to a filthy disused med bay. No, it's fine. This is where we'll do brain surgery.
But it also has power, even though that chip is on a scrapyard.
But just a little bit.
Enough for surgery.
A scooch of power. Yeah.
At least they didn't have to haul a Gonki in with them to, like, hook him up to the machinery.
Was that the same procedure that they used for when they did this on Rex? I remember floating droid floating around being kind of ridiculous. I didn't remember what the equipment looked like.
I don't even think the droid is there necessarily when Rex is doing it, because the droid is on Kamino, right? And
yes,
they make a point of, like,
no, that's not a great idea. Know,
Do you want to go to Kamino? And they're like, no. So I like that. I think I would put, based on the, you know, some of the stuff they're doing, I would not bet money against the protagonist of the Fallen Order game showing up next week and have, like,
he would be
a
very
cameo.
Very young, right? Because
he would be about the age that we saw Kanan at in the first episode.
Yes, okay, because he was I'm trying to remember.
He's also a Padawan. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because he was in the Jedi Fallen Order. He's kind of an angsty 20-year-old teenager kind of scrapper.
Right, right. But most of that takes place a few years later.
I think of it as Rebels era because it's got the Sith Inquisitors. But yes. Okay.
Right. I think it's a little earlier than that, but around the same.
Okay. Yeah, so he can be a kid or an early teen this era. Okay.
I wouldn't bet against it just as the way they seem to be drawing lines between various elements of Star Wars
properties.
I had
a hard time with that character. I didn't play that game as long as you did, in part just because he is voiced by and modeled after the appearance of the actor that plays the Joker in Gotham, who is, you know, a disturbed sociopath. So in the Gotham TV series,
really creepy.
And then they use his face for a Jedi, and I was like, don't do that. Sorry guy, but you had your face is coded as creepy in my head now.
I played that entire game and it had its ups and downs, but I appreciate that they're trying to integrate it as opposed to just being that thing over there that we don't really pay attention to.
That does seem to be kind of a new era under with Star Wars games. I mean, we both played Star Wars Squadrons recently, which has Harrison Dula from Rebels in it. So they do seem to be trying to not, I guess, throw their...
contradict themselves as much as they can.
And I guess, but I mean, it probably takes, they have the, you know, Lucasfilm Story Group and all that. It takes more work to kind of cross-check these things, but it does also makes them actually feel part of the shared universe in a way that the earlier extended universe was just like, you want a book? Here's some money, you know?
Aside from the fact that I think we talked about this briefly in the first episode, the events that happen with Kanan is not quite the way that's depicted in the comic book that covers it. So questions about how much of that has been retconned. The broad strokes are similar, but the details are not the same. So,
and you know,
I think they try where they can, but are not willing to throw it away.
Yeah, and you know, maybe there's some things with who's remembering it, from whose perspective was it shown, right? I don't know. I haven't read the Kanan comics, so I don't know if it was a flashback or a dream or a memory. But I'll allow it, Dan, is what I'm saying.
Okay, all right. Judge Tony has allowed that in making a note. I feel like what's good about this episode, and I think what's good about the last couple episodes, is it does seem to be putting a lot of things out there in the world that it starts like establishing as things that could be recurring. Mm-hmm. So we have Rex, we have Fennec Shand still out there, we have Crosshair, who we haven't seen in a while. Like, there are a lot of threads that we have, Trace and Rafa. Like, there are a lot of characters who are, you know, that you might run into or who could combine in interesting ways. I think that is sort of keeps the storyline as a whole feeling more complex, but it does feel like we're still in the stage of like throwing a lot of stuff out there and not having the point, tying things back together. I feel like, if anything, that's probably something that happens later in a season, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you have all these disparate threads and they start to come together a bit.
I was a little surprised that we had kind of two threads, I guess not clipped, but at least dealt with in terms of the inhibitor chip and Rex in a two-for-one, those had been two things we had hanging for a while. But it did seem like they'd been building things up with, like, Wrecker and his headaches, and that, you know, that how long could they spool that out for? So it will be interesting to see where they go next from here.
I mean, does this give them ammunition, or the thought of like, we need to go after Crosshair, right? Like, we need to save him, or are they still going to be content doing jobs for Sid, or are they going to want to, you know, maybe throw their hat into the ring of whoever is standing up to the Empire? At this point, I don't know if we have a super clear, you know, timeline in terms of how long it has been. I would say it's in the weeks to months range. Since
it does seem like we've had some jumps, right? Like it's not days, that's for sure.
I'm
trying to think. We are six episodes in. Does each episode correspond to a week? I don't think so. There's been a lot of space travel as they've zipped back and forth. So yeah, we could be in the maybe it's been a couple months at this point of things. And Rex made some cryptic comments about, you know, people are out there working against things. We don't, I mean, so timeline wise correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, The previous time that we saw Rex was also in the company of Ahsoka. In that ship.
The last time we see him in the Clone Wars.
Also in a Venerator class.
Yes, so that's when his that's when his procedure gets done.
Oh,
so,
was it that ship then? Or no, we are...
It wasn't the exact, ship, but no.
Yeah, he's in a ship that crashes.
Crashed on a different planet.
You're right, it's a snowy planet. So, yeah, it's like, is Ahsoka involved? Are we going to see Ahsoka in Bad Batch? Dave Filoni loves the Ahsoka character. Tracer and sister working for Ahsoka? Unclear. But I guess the question is the show going to show us that or not? So
yeah, I think the chances are good, and the reasons I will say are, one, Trace and Rafa, you know, they were characters associated with Ahsoka. So if Rex is working with them, Ahsoka has to sort of be the bridge.
This is
there.
Two for two for episodes with part of the people who have worked with Ahsoka.
And then I think the reason he is originally cagey was he deliberately doesn't mention her when he realizes they still have their inhibitor chips, right? Because he's trying to be like, oh, wait, I don't want to mention that I'm friends with a former Jedi. Basically, that is going to get me in trouble if they are still being brainwashed. Yes, so, and we see him talk to somebody at the end, too, who, again, he is just sort of keeping cagey about. And I think that makes a lot of sense in terms of just, like, where his, you know, he's a cautious operator in that way.
Especially, he hasn't gotten to that age without being risk-averse at this stage of things.
And we do see him later, obviously, in Rebels, but that is so far in the future that there is a lot of empty time in between now and then to see, you know, basically what Rex is choosing to do with his life.
Yeah, when does he lose his hair and grow a beard?
Anytime now. He's still got his armor at this point, which I think is interesting because running around in clone armor seems pretty risky right now. Especially because his is very distinctive. It's all beat up and everything, which I really enjoy.
Like, there's a couple close-ups there. So it's not exactly. Like, he's not just part of the standard regs. So this episode for me, not amazing, but it had some nice moments and it had some nice visuals, and maybe it's setting up some things to come. But I am optimistic for where we could go from here.
Yeah, I liked it a lot on a surface level of just like the stuff that happens. It was very engaging. It's not an episode that I necessarily, let's delve really deep into like all the interesting stuff, like in speculation. But I do think it's nice to provide that connective glue, deal with the inhibitor chip problem, bring Rex back. Like, all those things were fun. I enjoyed watching it. I feel like they've started to flesh out the world of the Bad Batch in this post-Empire world. I'm kind of hoping we'll see a little bit more of the, you know, the effect that the Empire is having on people, because it's still so new at this point that you have to feel like there's, you know, there are some growing pains, right? There are some adjustments happening, and we saw some of that early on with like the chain code stuff. I'm kind of curious to see if we delve into that a little bit more, because that's stuff that I think is cool to explore about this particular period. And, you know, when is that transition from the clone troopers to stormtroopers happen? I think that's an interesting thing to explore as well, which we've seen them delve into a bit with the conscripts back in the on Kamino. I feel like another week where I feel like we're due to find out more about what's happening back on Kamino, and they leave it hanging.
Mainly it's a little strange because in those early episodes we had the significant things with it. It seemed like that was going to suggest that would be a place that we would kind of see a lot of stuff happening parallel. And that is not how it's played out. So I have one last very important question about Star Wars continuity, Dan. On the horrible junkyard planet, there are weird mangy looking space rats. Are those space rats we've seen before?
I
don't think they're womp rats, because the womp rats are, you know, as we know, 2 meters, and those are not 2 meters. I just wasn't sure. They did
baby womp rats.
Are they baby womp rats? I don't know. They seem very small.
I don't know.
Seen these space rats before? Because they showed them to us a couple times. I was like, what's the deal with these space rats? Right. So
All right. What is the deal with the space rats?
Yeah, we'll find out later that those space rats grow up.
Very important.
They grow up and they buy the cantina on Mos Eisley.
Never seen,
but they hold the deed to it. And that is, you know, I don't... And they're friends with Ponda Baba. That's why Ponda Baba's in the bar. So never mind.
He drinks for free. Yeah. This is a rich fan fiction that we should really explore, but probably not on the podcast.
Mm-mm. We'll save this for members exclusive content. Got it.
That's right. All right. Well, next week's episode marks the halfway point in this season of The Bad Batch. Wow. It seems to have gone fast. But we will be back to discuss exactly what happens in that episode next week. Of course, as always, I'd like to thank my Star Wars pal, Tony Sindelar, for being here.
It's been a blast. Goodbye, nerds.
Thanks, everybody out there, for listening. We appreciate it. Appreciate your support. And we will see you next week.